Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your name this morning. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now, as we stand in the message of the Lord, we pray that it will be a blessing to the people and especially glory to the Lord. And we give you the praise and give you the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If anybody is in the hallways, let them come inside and sit down and hear this message. I believe the Lord is going to bless our hearts. Amen. Now, I am going to be speaking for a little bit on willing in the day of God's power. Now, that's willing in the day of God's power. Now, if you pay attention, the Lord will bless you. Amen. Amen. I like it when people respond in the service. Hallelujah. So we're going to start here in Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. I explained this scripture, the revelation behind it, last Friday at our faith lab, but I'm not going to go into that today. If you want to hear the message, it's on the website from last Friday, so you can go and listen to it. But there's a deep revelation in that verse, and I will not go into that today. However, the message today will have to do with our being willing in the day of God's power or in the day of God's visitation. Now, let me say something quickly about God's power. We all know that the Lord is Almighty God. If you believe that, say amen. There is nothing that he cannot do at any time and every time. He can do everything, every time, and anything at any time. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
However, this scripture is giving us insight into something. You know, now we know the power of the Lord. I mean, God is omnipotent and he has all power. Yet this scripture is telling us about the day of his power. Now, what that means is that there are certain times that God actually brings a special visitation. Even though he can do anything at any time and everything every time, there are times that he does special visitations. And I'm going to give us, before I go into the real teaching, let me give you a background on those kind of cases in which God actually visits occasionally, not all the time. Doesn't just, you know, we'll start from the very beginning. In the very beginning, God used to come down in the cool of the evening and visit with Adam. He wasn't there 24/7, even though he could, but he chose a time that he would come and visit. So you see that there's already a time into it. Now, there are some other more specific examples that I want to give here in the Bible. There's a story in John chapter 5. I love this story and I have preached from it many times. But there's only one verse that I want to read, and that is in John chapter 5 and verse 4. This story has to do with, you know, God sending an angel to do something at a specific time. He says, for an angel went down at a certain season. That's at a certain season. The angel didn't go down every time. There was a certain season known only to God. But the people had some rumblings in their mind. They had an idea around about the time that the angel would come. And they would gather around waiting for the stirring of the water. Because this angel went down at a certain season, and he will stir the water, and whoever got in first after the stirring of the water was made whole of whatever sickness they had. You know, so That was a certain season that this thing happened. Didn't happen all the time, but it happened at a certain season. Well, let's take a look at some other examples in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Let's read that. This scripture will talk to us about the times of refreshing. The times of refreshing. Now, look at this. He said, repent ye. This was Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And so on and so forth. And then afterwards, actually, they go into the, Peter and John going to the beautiful gate and finding this person that they healed and so forth. And the people wondering about all these things and all that. And so, they started to preach to them. And then he said here, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, this scripture seems to indicate that there are certain times of refreshing. Are you still with me, folks? Hello? The church is asleep today. I don't know what's going on. Are you following that there may be times of refreshing from this scripture we are reading? The refreshing is not there all the time. Otherwise there will be no need to say times of refreshing. But there are specific times of refreshing. There is a message on our website that I would like us to listen to. I don't even remember the day because I didn't look it up. It just came to my mind now. But it's called The Three Seasons. The dew, the dew, and the dew season. You have to look it up. But there is a season that God does certain things. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses will tell you that there is a time for everything. Amen. There's a time for everything. Now let's read also this verse. This is just a background real quick. In the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's read quickly. Luke chapter 5 verse 17. There was a situation in which Jesus Christ was in a certain place. Now, listen to this. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day. So there's a way that God brings these words out. There was a specific day. And he was there teaching. That's Jesus. And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by and so forth like that. In the town of Galilee and Judea, they came out of all those places and of Jerusalem. And on this certain day, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Can you say amen? Amen. On this certain day. Now, of course, anywhere that Jesus went, he was always doing good. But there were some times that he couldn't do anything because of the unbelief of the people around. In the places he went, he couldn't do any miracles because their unbelief was so thick. But on this certain day, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, by the grace of God, I have experienced days like this, when the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, but there is a different kind of something that I want to talk about today. It is similar to when Moses was visited and the children of Israel, all of them actually, on Mount Sinai. The power of the Lord came down on Mount Sinai at certain times. And the Bible says that that mount was altogether in a smoke because the glory of the Lord was upon it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what we are trying to bring out today, I'm taking it slow because this kind of message, I would normally preach it, I say preaching, but I'm switching it to teach it, so I'm taking it slow because I see that people are not, too charged up today. So I don't want you to miss it. I'm going to just take it slow and explain it. There are some things I want to bring out in this message. The things that draw out the power of God. The things that draw out the presence of God. Well, there are two spheres. There's one sphere in which God operates. When God says, You know, there are some dispensational times in the hand of God. God says it is time, and then it is time. You know, you can read that story in Genesis 15. God told Abraham what will happen to his seed 400 years before anything even... Abraham didn't even have a child, and God was already telling him that, you know. And the Bible says, when the time of promise drew near, see, when the time of promise drew near, there was something that God began to do. So there was a timing with God for that and how he visited them. You know, and God sets the times. I have been privileged in old times to experience, you know, incredible revival visitations because it was dispensational. But there is also something that draws the power of God. And that's the one that I actually want to focus on today. The hunger and the thirst in the people can also draw out the power of God. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible says the deep calls unto the deep. And that's the one I want to talk about today. Because I look around today, people are so complacent. You know, when it's time to come to church, people come at any time they want. You know, when it is time to pray, people come whenever they like or don't come at all. You know, I don't see people being passionate. I don't see people being hungry. I don't see people crying for God. So this message today is to help us to realize that, look, one, God is willing to come down in his power. Amen. Amen. But you must be willing and you must be ready. And you must draw God out by your faith and by your hunger and thirst. Let's start here now. We're going to the serious part of this message. That was just a background. Let's start now in the serious part of this message. And turn with me to the book of Psalms. I love to read from the Psalms, so you may already have figured. The book of Psalms, chapter 42. And I'm going to read just a few verses here. The first five verses and then verse 7. You know, this is one man's hunger and thirst for the Lord. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. And you should listen. There's a message on the website also called Thirsty for God. You should listen to that. It's a good message. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? You know, then he begins to remember, you know, things that made him sorrowful and so forth. My tears have been in my meat day and night. You know, they when they continually say unto me, where is there your God? These are kind of the things, you know, when people say, well, there's no anointing, there's no this and so forth. Well, that's when you need to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you call upon the name of the Lord and you draw out your soul after him, the Lord is going to answer back. He has a way that he does that. Now, let's look. I'm going to just jump here to verse 7. He says, deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water sprouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Now, look. There's something. The things of God are very deep. And you also have to be in a deep place of contrition, in a deep place of hunger and thirsting after God in order to pull it out. And I'm going to give some promises later on that God promises for those who are in those kind of states. But first of all, let's see, you know, let's read about some instances here in the Bible where people are actually reaching out to God and crying for God, you know, and see if we can learn from their example. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This man is hungry for God. Hallelujah. No wonder God said, this is a man after my own heart. He said, why is it? What is he hungry for? Let's look at verse 2. This is what he is hungry for in verse 2. He said, I am hungry to see thy power and thy glory, even so as I have seen it in the sanctuary. He's seen it before, but, you know, he wasn't satisfied with a one-time experience with God. He has seen the power. He has seen the glory. But he said, look, I am hungry. My soul is yearning for God. I want to see thy glory, and I want to see thy power again, even as I saw it before in the sanctuary. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, he said, you know, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, O God. And he went on to say many wonderful things. Verse 6, he said, when I remember thee upon my bed, to meditate upon thee in the night watches. And this man, even sleep could not keep him from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Even when he's sleeping, he's meditating on the Lord. He's remembering the Lord in his sleep and everything like that. You know, when he's in the evening, in the night, in the bed, wherever it is, my soul followeth hard after thee. Hallelujah. You know, praise the Lord. Oh my. And he said, look, thy right hand upholdeth me. This guy is always seeking after the Lord. Let's read some more of his testimonies of how he hungered and thirsted after God and why God chose him. Psalm 84. I will read from verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord God of hosts. My soul longeth. How many times over and over is he going to say that in the Bible? This is verse 2. My soul longeth. Yea. He said, look, I even faint for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now this man, you know, inside of him, his very being, always yearning for the Lord. He wasn't satisfied. He said, look, I was glad when he said, let us go to the house of the Lord. But he wasn't satisfied with just going to the house of the Lord. He wanted to get a hold of God. He wanted to see the power of God. He wanted to see the glory of God. And no wonder, you know, God called him a man after my heart. Praise the Lord. Let's read how this man also cherished the word of God. You know, because the word of God goes with the presence of God. There are so many people today that don't read their Bible. In 24 hours of the day, no Bible. 2 days go by, 3 days go by, 1 week goes by, no Bible until we come to church again. Well, that's not going to get it done, folks. You know, that church today are so cold because iniquity has abounded everywhere. The love of many have grown cold. People are so cold, they're not fired up for the presence of the Lord. People are not excited about the things of God. I mean, we're just casual. We come to church and we do these things, but it's all casual. But let's see what the word of God means to this person. Psalm 119, of course, the whole chapter of Psalm 119, very long verse, very long chapter rather, has to do with all the word of God and so forth. But let me just read verses 81 to 82. Psalm 119 and verse 81. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? This guy always reaching out. My soul fainting for the Lord. My eyes, I want the word of God and so forth. You know, and he said, look, I rejoice on the word of God. In this same chapter, verse 62. I rejoice about, you know, on the word of God as somebody who found great spoil. Listen to this. Verse 62. 162 of the same chapter. I rejoice at thy word as one that found a great spoil. You know, spoil, you know, it's like winning the lottery or something like that. I mean, I'm not encouraging anybody to do that. You know, we don't believe in that and so forth like that, but I'm just looking for something to compare it with. I mean, there's some great thing that happened to him, and he's saying that the word of God, I mean, thy word means as much to me as if I just won some great treasure. Well, I found some great spoil, you know, and no wonder the Lord would visit him. Psalm 130, let me move along very quickly. Psalm 130, let me read verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Hallelujah. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. You know, I mean, it's like somebody standing in the watch and they have to keep the night watch and so forth, you know, and, you know, their schedule is the night, you know, and they have this shift and so forth. And they're just looking at their time when the day will break so that their shift will end. This man said, look, I'm looking for the Lord more than even that kind of person. I'm always looking for the Lord. He's always hungering and thirsting after God. You know, and we're going to read some promises for those kind of people in a few minutes. Let me go here to Isaiah. Well, before I read the Isaiah, let me read somebody else. Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 15. Here's somebody else also, you know, what he had to say, how the word of God meant so much to him. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Can you say amen? Can you really say that the word of God is the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Do you rejoice to hear the word of God? Are you excited about the word of God? Or, you know, is it just so, you know, plain, or it doesn't excite you, it doesn't mean anything, there's no excitement when you hear the word of God? And these are people that their word of God was a fire in their bones, sir. The word of God was a joy and rejoicing of their heart. That's what Jeremiah said. Is that the way it is to you, or you just, you know, the word of God doesn't mean anything? Well, you know, now for us to have real revival, you know, it's not enough to just go to some meeting that's called revival. You know, I know the ladies have this thing next Saturday, but you ladies better listen to me. It's not enough to just go attend that meeting, you know, and just say, okay, we're going to some revival meeting. You have to have this hunger and this thirst in your soul, because see, that's how God is going to visit you, when you have that hunger and that thirsting in your soul. Praise the Lord. Let me now read Isaiah. This is the verse I wanted to read in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. Let me read quickly. You know, now, David was not the only one that wanted the Lord to come down. You know, I love the way that Isaiah put it here. It's talking about if God would just rend the heavens and come down. Let me read this. Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Oh, that the Lord would rend the heavens and thou wouldest come down. Hallelujah. And that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Oh my goodness. He said, you know, listen to the next verse. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire, you know, causing even waters to boil, to make thy name known even to thy adversaries. He said, look, you know, I want even nations to tremble at thy presence. Now, these are people that are praying for the glory of the Lord. Oh, that God will rend the heavens. You know, let him come down in his power. Let the Lord visit. Let the Lord do this. This is the prayer night and day, folks. This is the prayer that you should be praying. And the ladies that are going to this prayer conference that's coming, this is the prayer that you should be praying going into this thing. That the Lord will rent the heavens. Amen. You know, don't just go casually. And this is the problem. We all come to church casually. You know, it's Sunday and so it's time to go. But, you know, there is no one that gets a hold of God, you know, and say, Lord, you know, bless me, visit me, or I die. You know, and then, you know, and you just come to church and so forth like that. And then the same people that don't pray about the Lord visiting will say, well, nothing is happening. Well, sure, because you are not praying. And you are not calling upon the name of the Lord. And you don't have this hunger in your heart. You know, today I'm going to challenge us to begin to yearn for this hunger and this thirst after God. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read some promises that God has for people that are hungering and thirsting after God. And let's see what the Lord will do when we have a true hunger and a true thirst for the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, on the famous Sermon on the Mount and so forth, Jesus said these words in Matthew 5 and 6. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness,
for they shall be filled. Amen.
Amen. You know, this is Jesus point blank said it. If you are hungering and thirsting after God's power, he is going to fill you. Amen. Now, listen to this in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. The Lord said, call upon me. See? And I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, no matter what level you think you are in God, if you are here, you can always go to here. Amen. And no matter what you think you know, you know, you can always get more from the Lord. I've given this analogy before. You know, the power and the flowing presence of God compared to what we have, or vice versa, what we have compared to the power and flowing presence of God is like taking a bucket to the ocean. And you can take a bucket and take some out of the ocean, there will be not even a dent in that ocean. You can go back 1,000 times and there still will be no dent in that ocean. Hallelujah! That's how little what we have right now is compared to what we can have from God. And how can we get more? Is by hungering and thirsting after God. Now, listen to these promises that he gave here. Psalms 107 and verse 9. Psalm 107 verse 9. He said, for the Lord satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with his goodness. Amen. If you are longing and you are hungering after God, he will satisfy you and he will fill you. Praise the Lord. Now, here are some other conditions that he gives along with those promises. Isaiah chapter 55. Let me quickly go through this real quick now. Isaiah 55. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 6. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come anyway, and buy and eat. Yea, come, you know, buy and drink and so forth, you know, without money and without price. There's an invitation that he is giving to those who are thirsty to come. And listen to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, this goes back to what we said about the day of his power. Are you telling me that Lord cannot be found at any time? Well, listen to this. Seek ye the Lord in the day of his power, while he may be found, you know, and call upon him while he is near, folks. It's not all the time. There are times of visitations. You know, and this is the thing that God hates about Israel. He said the turtle knows their time. You know, this one knows their time. But the people of the Lord don't even know the day of their visitation. When God is near, folks, you better get a hold of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, there is a time when he's near. There is a time. Of course, you know, that's a general statement. But any one individual can draw God and draw the power of God. If you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. That's for any individual. But generally speaking, you know, for the Lord to bless the church must recognize the timing of God. And we are at such a time right now that God wants to visit his people. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29. Let's see how quickly I can find this. Move along here. Okay, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, so you can see that God is revealing something here. God, we can seek the Lord haphazardly, but we may not find him. Jesus said, look, these people are like the parable I've said, that they seek me, I mean, with their mouth and so forth, but their heart is far away from me. But if you seek the Lord with all your heart, that's what this verse is saying, Jeremiah 29 and 13. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek for me with all of your heart. That's when you are going to find the Lord, not just haphazardly. But here's a promise for those, again, who are thirsting and seeking after the Lord. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. Let me read that quickly. How God promises to pour water upon the thirsty soul. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Now, water is like the Holy Ghost. And floods upon the dry ground. And I will even, you know, pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isn't that wonderful? You know, these are promises, but these promises go out only to those who are hungry, who are thirsting after God. Now, let me give us a challenge. And we spoke about this last Friday here at the church during our faith lab. Let me give us a challenge here. In the book of, we're going back to the beginning almost. In the book of Exodus, when God began to visit the people, he appeared to Moses. He also wanted to draw the people close to him. So here's what he told them in Exodus chapter 19. Let's read verses 5 and 6. This is what the Lord told them in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people that are on the earth, for the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." Now, you know, this was God's invitation. And he said, you can go to be a holy nation. And these are the words that you're going to speak unto them. So the Lord commanded Moses to speak these words. God invited the people, the children of Israel, to be a kingdom of priests. He invited them, you know, but they wouldn't have any part of God. They didn't want any part of it. They said, "Oh, no. We don't want any part of that. You go hear from God, and then you come and tell us." You know, and well, Moses, he did go into the presence of God. And when he would come back, the Bible says that his face was glowing with the power of God. He didn't know it at first. When people say, "Oh, we can't look at that," you know, they had to put a veil on his face. And then the people said, "We don't want to hear the voice of God. His voice is too terrible. If we hear his voice, we will die." And all this thing. And they rejected the invitation that God gave to them. And they said, "We don't want any part of it." God said, "I want the whole nation to be a kingdom of priests. Not just one person, a kingdom of priests." But they said, "We don't want to do it." And that day, when they rejected God like that, Moses became a prophet unto them. There was no need for that. God wanted to talk directly to each one of them. He wanted each one of them to be in his presence, but he said, "We will not have any part of it." God extended that same invitation to us. This same verse is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, where Peter said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar treasure. For God has appointed you and called you," see, "called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, that you should show forth the praises of our God." Amen. You know, this is God is extending the same thing. He wants you to come out. He wants you to be, you know, priests unto God. You know, it's a different kind of priesthood today, you know, but he wants you to be standing in his presence, standing in his, in the worship and in the glory of the Lord all the time. Now, let's not be like those people that rejected God. Now, don't be satisfied with the status quo. Amen. A lot of people are satisfied with the status quo. "Well, it's all right. We just go and the Lord does one or two things and so forth." You know, it's the same thing when say, "Well, if I'm sick, you know, if God heals me, fine. If he doesn't heal me, fine." Well, he's not going to heal you like that. You know, you got to get a hold of God. And you got to say, "I am healed already." And enforce what God has already done. Amen. Now, don't be a status quo person. Just take everything the way it is. Let's read the example of one man that didn't, you know, want to be a status quo. And let's see how God used that fire that was inside of him. This story is found in the book of Judges. And this is the story of a man called Gideon. In the book of Judges chapter 6, let's look at from Judges chapter 6. This man, Gideon, there was something that God saw in him. So we pick up this story from verse 12 of Judges chapter 6. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." This was unto Gideon. "And the angel of the Lord said unto him,
The Lord is with thee,
thou mighty man of valor. See, the Lord already saw something in him, even though he, you know, he said, well, you know. So here's what he said to the Lord. And Gideon said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befalling us? And why, where are all his miracles which our fathers have told us, and so forth? I mean, did you not bring up our fathers out of Egypt? And have the Lord not done all of these things? But it looks like your power has forsaken us. You know, this man was not satisfied with the status quo. He said, look, I need more. You know, show us something. Show us the miracles that, you know, our fathers reported to us before. Show us all of these things. Why are you telling us the Lord is with us, you know, when nothing is going on? And we're, you know, we need more power. I need to see the miracles that, you showed to our fathers. And then the Lord said to him on verse 14. He said, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So that fire that was inside of him was what God was able to use. God saw that this was somebody that had fire in him. This was somebody that wanted to see more and wasn't just satisfied with the status quo. So God chose that fire that was in him and used it to develop him into what will be a deliverer of Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, let me give us some warnings here of what happens when we don't heed these kind of warnings. You know, we can preach this and preach it, but if we don't heed it, I'm going to tell you what is going to happen. So let me preach for a few minutes this warning from the Lord. And this is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And let's read verses 4 to 5. This was a rebuke that Jesus had for the church at Ephesus. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, many people, when they first come into the Lord or first receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you couldn't shut them off. The power and the word of God was like a fire in their bones. They went everywhere. Nobody could shut them off. You know, they're always looking for some miracle. They're always looking for some, you know, happening. They are always moving with God, doing something. A few days, a few weeks, a few years go by, and then it just status quo all over. There's no fire in the bones again. You know, they've lost their first love. You know, and there's a big rebuke here in this verse. Now, let's read the next verse. This is a big warning in Revelation 2, verse 5. Let's read what it says. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works again. Or else, now this is an or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick. Now, now nobody wants the Lord to remove their candlestick. Amen. I will remove thy candlestick from its place, and you will be in outer darkness. That's what this is saying. You know, except thou repent and go back and do the first works and go back to your first love again. Now, if you have never experienced that first love, well, you need to come to the Lord to enjoy it. But for those who have experienced it and have let it slip because of the cares of this world and all the things that we are running after from day to day, you know, there's a stern warning here for us today. Now, let me give us this last verse before I call for prayer. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, Hosea chapter 6, I'm going to read the first couple of verses, maybe verses 1, 2, and 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. Amen, folks. He has smitten, but now he will bind us up. After 2 days, now this is prophetic and I can't go into all of that. After 2 days, will he revive us. In the third day, oh, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Oh my. And he said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, whose going forth is prepared as the morning. Oh, and he said, he shall come unto us as the rain. Folks, he will come unto us as the rain. He will come unto us as the former and the latter rain together. But we must seek the Lord, and we must return to the Lord. Now, there are some people that are sitting here from the old time revivals that have been talking about, you know, former rain, latter rain for a long time. But folks, let us not be like the children of Israel, who knew the promise of God and who saw the power of God in Egypt and all the great things that God did, or came out, but their hearts were not right with God. And pretty soon, they wanted to be like the rest of the world. They even wanted to go back to Egypt. And know this, the Bible says, that you should not forget that God brought them all out of Egypt, and then afterwards destroyed them, the same people that he brought out, because they did not believe God, and they would not continue with God. Now, so, just say, well, you know, I received the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. I've done this and so forth. I speak in tongues and all of that. No, that was then, but this is now. Amen. We're talking about following on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Not the one that he did for me yesterday. Well, we must always give glory for his testimonies. But you cannot rely upon your experiences of yesterday or your experiences of yesteryears. We must follow on to know the Lord. Every day we must have a passion. We must choose the Lord as our chief joy. We must cry. You know, sometimes we say it's our time. It's a time for month-end fasting. You know, if I were to ask today how many people fasted, I don't want to put anybody in a spot. But people don't even do these things anymore. When we say it's time to fast, that's the time that people go to the movies. That's the time they will do this and so forth. When we say it's time for Friday night, was supposed to be our faith lab prayer time. You know, a few people were here. Of course, the Lord bless those people who are here. Amen. And we thank those who are here. But a lot of people were not here. You are out doing something else and so forth. You know, when we are trying to get a hold of God and we are not there, then, you know, people say, well, you know, the Lord is not moving. Yeah, sure. How is the Lord going to move when he say, call a solemn assembly, sanctify a fast, you know, call together my people, and then you are not there. And then you say, the Lord is not going to move, or the Lord is not moving. Call a solemn assembly. Folks, when we call these solemn assemblies, when we call this fast, you know, America is a great place. It's the food basket of the world right now. But look, Bible warns us that do not let your hearts be charged with surfeiting and drunkenness. In America, people don't like fasting because there's too much food everywhere. Well, where I come from, we love to fast. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. That's right. You know, don't come here and be Americanized. You know, you need to go back to your first love. If your first love was fasting and calling upon the Lord and praying in the Holy Ghost all night long, and you are forgetting all those things, you need to get back there. Amen. That's the only place that God's going to visit you personally. Now, we may have a revival meeting and the Holy Ghost may come down, but it's not going to stay with you. That power is not going to stay with you, and you're not going to be able to be in that presence unless you have this hunger and this thirst. Unless you can meditate upon him on your bed day and night. Unless you know and you follow on to know the Lord every day. You know, don't let the things which you have heard, don't let them slip. Don't let the things that you have known, don't let them fall by. You know, praise the Lord. People are always looking for something in the future. It's like, oh, God's going to do this, and God's going, what about right now? Praise the Lord. You know, right now, you can get a hold of God. God has some great promises for us, but I tell you what, we've already preached this message, you know, on, you know, when we preached about God requiring fruitfulness. If you don't use now what you have, don't expect to have more from God. You see, some of us already have a visitation from God. It might have been the Holy Ghost baptism. It might have been, you know, some gift that he gave you and so forth. You're not using those things now, and you're looking for something else. Well, if you haven't used or not using what you have now, you're not holding on to God and continuing every day looking for him, God may pass you by. But that's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. You know, let us not wander in the wilderness like those people wandered. You know, let us not wander in the wilderness. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. There's a song that says, "Take me back." I think we may have it in the song list down there. I didn't want to put it up or anything. I didn't think about it. So see if you can find the song that says, "Take me back." You know, take me back to the place where I once believed. Take me back to that place. Hallelujah. You know, the place where I once had this joy and this power and this faith. You know, this psalmist, one of my favorites in this last generation, Andrew Crouch, he sang this song and said, "Look, you know, I know that I've been blessed and so forth, but yet my soul is not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I once received and where I once believed." Now, this is the prayer, this is the hunger that should be in our hearts every day. And I'm going to invite us to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. While we sing this song, there's a special song that I want the praise team to help me sing. It's not one that was on their roster today, but I just thought of it right now. And if the praise team will come up, I want them to sing, "Wrap me in your arms, take me to that secret place, you know, where I can be like you, and take me to that place, oh Lord, that secret place." Now, this is what we need. This is what is missing in our lives. You know, the hunger is missing. The fellowship with God, one-on-one, is missing. And people are relying only on the time that they spend at church, you know, and that's not going to get the job done. You know, you need to have visitation from God, like Adam did in the cool of the evening, you know. And don't forget to make your heart to be willing and ready in the day of God's power. When God's power is present to heal, when God's power is present to give another outpouring at this end of time, are you going to be willing? Is your heart going to be ready? Are you going to be in a place, in a special place, in that secret place with God, where He can teach you to be like Him and where you can walk with God? Remember, Enoch walked with God and he was not, and God took. I know you didn't get this song practiced, but you know the song, right? I want us to lift our hands up. And as they sing this song, if you can put that song up, "Wrap me in your arms." And as they sing that song, as we sing that song, let's make it a prayer today. And let's sing it prayerfully for just a few minutes as we pray. There is a God who loves me. There's a God who wraps me in His arms. And as they sing through these verses of this song, let's make it our prayer here today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, take each one of us to that secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, even with Him will the Lord commune face to face. Hallelujah. It's more than just looking for His protection. It's more than just looking for His handout. Let's not only seek God's hand, but let's seek His face. Hallelujah. Lord, take me to that place, oh Lord. Take me to that place where I can behold Your face. Hallelujah. Take me to that place, Lord. Wrap me in Your arms. The place, Lord, where I can be like You, where You can change me. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Lord, put this hunger and this thirst. Free that fire in the heart of the people. Wake us up, O Lord, from slumber. In the name of Jesus. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. A little slumber, a little folding of the arms to sleep, so shall thy spiritual poverty come like an armband. No, we don't want that. Oh no, we don't want that. Now listen to what the Bible says. And I'm going to close with this. The Lord said, He looked for a man to make up the hedge. He couldn't find any. He looked for somebody to stand in the gap and get a hold of God. He couldn't find any. He said, therefore, His holy arm returned power and salvation unto him. Not so, Lord. Not so as it is this day. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, if you are going to be willing in the day of the power, put up your hands, and I'm going to ask God to strengthen your hands. Remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm asking the Lord for every hand that is here raised this morning, that the Lord will strengthen your flesh, just like he quickens your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Make the Lord always your chief joy, and look for him with excitement every day. And unto them that look for him, even every day of their lives, shall he appear the second time with a crown of glory. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Everybody, praise the Lord. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah, praise the Lord.